listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to Just the Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the Word. Come on, let's go.
Last week we discussed the body and the bride of Christ, and a question was posed to us. And the question is, will God allow the body, His bride, to go through the tribulation hour, or does God have a plan of escape prepared for those who believe? The Bible emphatically states that God is going to remove the believer out of harm's way before judgment is poured out upon this earth. Jesus over in St. John, chapter 14, verse 1, says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He goes on to say, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." Beloved, God has already set in place a plan for the body and the bride of Christ to escape the oncoming judgment that is about to be poured out upon this planet. Beloved, Jesus said, "I am going to prepare a place, and if I go and prepare a place, I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus has said He's coming to get a prepared people to take them to a prepared place, and that place is in heaven. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is going to return for those who have already put their faith and their trust in Him via the rapture. We're going to be caught out and taken out of the way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 tells us, "Beloved, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them that sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent those which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And again, He affirms this information over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. For we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, the living, shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption hath put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" God has stated over and over and over again that there is going to be a removal of the believer, the body and bride of Christ, to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, to be caught up from this old world to a place that He has already prepared, and that place is to be with Jesus. Amen? Beloved, I go over this in light of information that many have said that there's not going to be a rapture. Well, beloved, those who are teaching you are either not Bible scholars or they're in denial. They're in denial because they have built their own little kingdoms down here on the planet, and they do not want to relinquish that which they have already built. But Jesus is coming again. He is the only true King and potentate. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And beloved, there's nothing wrong with building ministry and building large ministry and getting millions into the body of Christ. Beloved, this is what we ought to be striving after. But at any moment, we need to be ready to let go of everything and to be with the Lord and let Him have His way. But those who are denying the return of the Lord, even teaching the fact that Jesus cannot come again, are in error or denial, or they are just grossly misled. Beloved, I say that the Bible will speak for itself. Let God be true and every man a liar. Now listen, over 99% of Christians, those who have believed, those who have already died, are already with the Lord. They're in a place called paradise already. They're already in the presence of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:8, it says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But you know something, the most exciting thing about the rapture message is this, that those of us, you and I, beloved, who are alive and remain at the time of the return of the Lord in the rapture, we will never die. That's right, beloved. We shall never taste of death. We shall be caught up, changed, without dying, to be in the presence of the Lord. This is what Paul was stating when Paul says, I'm looking for that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He didn't mean to see the undertaker. He was looking for the up and out calling of God, to be with God without dying. Not to be unclothed by death, but to be clothed upon with immortality. Paul had an expectation that Jesus would come in his day and he would be among those that would not die. So, if God has already taken millions and millions of believers, those who have already passed away, and they're with Him in the presence of God, safe in the presence of Jesus, why should a handful, virtually 1% of the body of Christ, which is those of us who are remaining on the planet, why should we go through a tribulation hour that was never intended for the body of Christ? God has already had 99% of His church with Him. Why would 1% suffer an untold agony? It would be inconsistent with God's plan. Since the Greek word ecclesia is translated church, in English it means a called out assembly. Beloved, you and I have been called out by God. We have been chosen before the foundation of the world. We were handpicked and selected to be in His presence, to be unto His praise, and to be in His glory. Could not this definition extend to the very hour when the final called out assembly meets the other 99% of the church that is already in glory? Why should a minority suffer God's vengeance while the other watch from in the heavenly places? That would make sense. That would grieve the body of Christ. If those who have already saved, those who are already gone with the Lord, if they watched us suffer the onslaught, the attacks of the enemy, the attack of the Antichrist, the attack of all the tribulation woes, the 21 judgments that's going to be poured out on this planet, if there's no difference between the saved and the unsaved, if there's no difference between the righteous and the unrighteous, if there's no difference between the clean and unclean, if we're all suffering the same judgment, then, beloved, it would be totally inconsistent with God's Word. Beloved, we know it not to be so. We talked about it last week. How when Abraham bargained with God over the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, God sent in the angels of judgment into the city. And Lot was there, which was the nephew of Abraham, and Lot was a part of the covenant promise that God had made unto Abraham. And the angels instructed Lot to get all his family and take all that he had and to flee from the city, because one of the things that the angels told Lot is that we cannot do anything until you come out of the city. So in the same way that God would spare Lot and his family before he poured down fire and brimstone and destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, the same thing is true, and even more so with the body of Christ. Beloved, the rapture is the pre-evacuation of the saints of God before the tribulation hour begins here on the planet. We can look in our newspapers today, and we can understand that these are the last days. We know that the time is near. We can see everything in Bible prophecy being manifested in our presence. With the ongoing onslaught in the Middle East with Iraq and Iran, and what's going on with Iran getting nuclear capability, and we see all of the fighting that's going on in the Gaza Strip, the things that are happening around Israel right now. We see all the new diseases that are popping up, storms that we have never seen before. Beloved, everything that Jesus has prophesied is coming to pass in our time, in our hour. Another thing, beloved, according to, we went over this once before, was about the six-day theory. How God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. And it says over in Psalms that one day in thy sight is but yesterday. And over in 1 Peter, it says 1,000 years is as one day, and one day is 1,000 years. Beloved, we are entering into the 7,000th year. God created the heavens and earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. Well, Jesus is going to rule and reign on this planet for 1,000 years, and there's going to be a millennial reign of Christ, a 1,000-year rest for this old earth, this planet. Jesus will rule and reign in righteousness for 1,000 years. All of the signs, even chronologically, we're in a position for the return of the Lord. Now, I say chronologically because there is also a kairos time, a set time that God has set aside. That Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour, only the Father. But he said, you'll know when it's near and even at the door. Beloved, can you hear the knocking on the door? It won't be long before Jesus calls us in the clouds and says, come up hither. And we're caught up to be with him in glory. Beloved, ask yourself a question. If Jesus were to come today, would you be ready to go? Beloved, we are all members of Christ's body. We're all members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We read that over in Ephesians 5:30 yesterday. We are members of his body and of his flesh and his bones. That means that we're part of the bride. He's not going to leave us. Should 99% of his body be in heaven rejoicing while 1% remain on earth suffering? Perish that thought. Jesus is not that type of God. He will not allow us to suffer the anguish and the pain of the tribulation hour. In fact, since Christ is the head of the body, he would actually be administering wrath to his own body if he left part of his body on earth for the tribulation period. But that doesn't make sense. The believers are also the bride. Should 1% of the believers constitute the bride, languish and anguish while 99% of the bride be at his side? I mean, that's, beloved, it doesn't even make good sense to anybody. When we know the benevolence of God, the loving kindness, when Jesus said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And you and I, we have a special relationship with Christ because we are married unto him. We are the bride of Christ. And believe me, the bridegroom is coming for his bride. Come on, let's go on. The same church, the body and bride, must go through a time of examination called the judgment seat of Christ. That's right. You and I, we're going to be examined. Now, the judgment seat of Christ is not to be confused with the great white throne judgment. And the judgment seat of Christ is not to determine whether you and I are saved or lost. We would never have made it to the judgment seat of Christ if we hadn't been lost. But at the judgment seat of Christ is where we are examined for the works that we have done for the Savior while we were here on earth. That's right, beloved. You and I, we're going to be judged for our meritorious service. How much love, how much Christ have we demonstrated here on the planet? Listen, we're going to be investigated. There's also going to be a marriage that's going to take place as we're in heaven during the time of this seven-year period when we're caught up to be with Jesus. While down here on earth, there's going to be 7 years of hell on earth. The tribulation hour will be in full swing. But we, the body and bride, will first appear before the judgment seat of Christ, where we're going to be examined and rewarded for our services for God. Our new robes are going to be handed out, and we're going to attend the marriage feast of the Lamb. Come on, let's go on down. Our rewards will be broken up into six categories. That's right, beloved, six categories. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Turn with me in your Bible, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to start here at verse 11. And in verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's works of what sort it is. And if any man's works abide that he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's works shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as yet by fire. Beloved, let's go back up and examine this text of Scripture. The Bible said our works, yours and mine, are going to be broken up into several categories, six to be exact. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. And the Bible says that every man's works shall be made manifest. Now, this is so important. Just because you may not have a great, large, huge work to present unto the Lord, like I said earlier, maybe God has only placed those within your sphere of influence for you to influence for the body of Christ. Well, beloved, based on the assignment that God has given you to carry out, you will receive a reward. It's not just because your name is not Billy Graham, or you don't have to be a Billy Graham, or you don't have to be a T.D. Jakes. You don't have to have one of these great followings in order to receive the reward. Your reward is going to be based on the assignment that God has given you. The Bible said, every man's works shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's works of what sort it is. Now, what does that mean? That means there's a lot of things that have more glitz and glamour than actually has impact and influence for the body of Christ. That's right. There's some things, oh God, that are just hollow shells and built for the glory of man and not built for the glory of God. But at the same time, there are these glorious edifices that are built unto the glory of God. Listen, I am not downing mega ministries, beloved. I praise God for those who are carrying out their assignment, because that's their assignment. But those who are just doing it for the fame of men, whether we judge it or not, that's not our position, you and I. But when they pass through the fire, beloved, you may just be in charge of a storefront, and you may be raping the people for that money because you can't find a job. But let me, that's no reason to start a church. Just because you got humble means don't mean that you're in the will of God either. What is the thought and the intent of your heart? What is the purpose in which you're serving God? The work, the fire is going to try every man's works to find out what sort it is. And listen, I give God praise for these ministries, men and women of God who are building churches, who are establishing the kingdom of God here in this planet, who are bringing forth millions of souls unto Christ. I praise God for that, beloved. And listen, those mom and pop stores that God has just put in their heart and commissioned them to open up in some of the impoverished areas, and they're serving God with everything that is within them, and they're bringing those that other people cannot reach into the body of Christ. I give God praise and glory for that. And beloved, it's going to take the fire of God to try every man's works to determine of what sort it is. Now the Bible says, if any man's works abide which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. You know, it reminds me of the parable when the owner of the vineyard went out, and he went to hire people to come and work. And he got some in early in the morning. He got some in at noontime. He got some in midday. And he got some just before closing time. And at the end of the day, beloved, everyone received the same reward. That's right. And those who had worked in more than the heat of the day were upset with the master, because he paid those who had came in at the last few hours and gave them the same wages as they got. But God said, we have already agreed on the same price. Eternal life is for those who believe. Beloved, you don't have to be in the ministry 1,000 years in order to receive a reward from God. Beloved, the moment you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you begin to tell somebody else about Jesus, God, let me tell you something, that word will expand exponentially and will bring forth fruit. Beloved, you don't know who is going to be the next Billy Graham. You don't know who is going to be the next soul that you witness to that may lead billions unto Christ, and you will have a partake in that man's or that woman's ministry. Beloved, share the gospel. Tell somebody that Jesus is coming again. Now the Bible says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer a loss. But yet he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That means, beloved, this judgment seat of Christ is not to determine whether a believer is saved or lost. No. You're saved the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But when we appear before this judgment seat of Christ, it's actually a time of celebration. There'll be no one that is turned away, no one that is cast out. We all shall receive a reward according to our meritorious service unto God. Every man will get exactly that which is coming to him, because God is a righteous judge. He will judge every man, and he knows the thought and the intent of the heart, and we will be in a time of celebration. No one will be cast out at this judgment seat of Christ, because we made it there by the blood of the Lamb. We made it there by the word of our testimony. The moment we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, beloved, you were sealed until the day of redemption. And at this point, this is the time to where we celebrate our homegoing with the Lord. Amen? It is impossible for those who say that Jesus is not coming to the end of the tribulation period for their theories to even work. There are some that have a post-tribulation theory and say that Jesus is not coming until after the tribulation hour. You know, when we examine the scriptures, they don't hold water. It doesn't hold water because God is not going to leave his body to suffer through this tribulation period. And I know what some people are saying. Well, what about in Matthew chapter 24 where it says, there shall be no flesh saved, but except for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Well, that's not talking about the church, beloved. That is talking about the elect, Israel. Israel will go through the tribulation period. That's right. It's a time of testing and proving, but it's also a time where God will be exalted and glorified in Israel. It's a time where God will stand up for the nation. And when the Antichrist and the nations of the world come against Israel, God is going to stand up. Read Ezekiel 38 and 39, beloved. And you'll see how God stands up and glorifies himself in the nation of Israel. And God is going to wipe out the enemies of Israel that come up against them like a cloud. Listen, Israel will be preserved and protected during the tribulation hour. And this is also indicative of the parable as when Jesus said, just as it was in the days of Noah. See, Noah and his family were protected inside the ark through the flood, while we have Elijah and Enoch who were evacuated and taken out of the way, along with Lot who was taken out of the way before judgment fell. Beloved, you and I, we have a blessed hope. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. Come on, let's go on with our study. We have already quoted this earlier. The Bible tells us that you and I, we may never taste death. Come on, beloved. Get with me. Get on the program. Get your excitement back up in your life. Jesus is coming again. He's coming for you and I. And guess what? There's a possibility that you and I shall never die. That's right, beloved. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And then we shall be changed. That's right. Beloved, we shall be changed. Beloved, I am looking forward to the return of the Lord. But that does not mean that I'm standing idly by with my head toward heaven, not doing anything. No, no, to wait upon the Lord, as we said earlier in our earlier messages, to wait upon the Lord is just like a waitress would wait upon you in a restaurant, wanting to take your order and find out exactly what you want and making extra effort in order to please you. The waitresses in the natural world is trying to get a tip. But we're doing it in order to please God. We're waiting upon the Lord. That means, Lord, I have got my ear attentive to your word. I want to know what is your order, what it is that you have me to do. While I'm waiting upon the Lord, I am seeking to please the Lord, to fulfill the desire of the Lord, to hear the instruction of the Lord, that we may be on the cutting edge of this final move, this final outpour of the Spirit of God, this final world harvest that God is going to do. For God is about to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, and there's going to be a massive ingathering of souls. But let me, this is why you need to stay excited. You need to stay on the cutting edge, because we know that the time is near and even at the door. You need to run and tell somebody about Jesus. Get your neighbor saved. Get your sons and your daughters saved. Get them to confess Christ as Lord and Savior. Tell them about the goodness of God. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. But let me, there's something special about the gospel. It's not your persuasion of words that you're using. There's something supernatural when you speak the gospel of Christ. When you tell others about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, about the sacrificial lamb, about how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's something supernatural when you begin to share the manifest power of God, how God rose up on the third day and how he imparted his power unto the church in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, and that the Holy Spirit has come to indwell in us, to keep us, and to come upon us, to give us power. There's something supernatural about the gospel of God, and when you begin to impart this word, it's going to destroy yokes. It will rebuke the devil long enough for your loved ones to make a conscious decision to say, what must I do to be saved? Beloved, it is so important that you and I be on the cutting edge in these last days, for the return of the Lord is near and it's even at the door. Beloved, where are you today? Where are you in your ministry? When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, what will God have to say unto you? Will he see you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or will he look at you and say, you know you could have did more for me, but come on in anyway. Beloved, I want to do all I can. I'm running for the Lord. I'm currently seeking God like I've never sought him before. With fasting and prayer, seeking the will and the face of God, being faithful unto the dispensation of the gospel that's been committed unto me. Now, everybody doesn't like this end time message. Everybody doesn't want to hear this. But it's the truth. It's a blessed hope. It's a message of hope. And it's something that you and I need to be aware of. All of the apostles in the early church looked for the Christ to return in their day. They thought he may come at their time. Why? Because the rapture is imminent, beloved. Imminent means it could happen at any moment. All of the signs that we see in the Bible point to the revelation. But the rapture is a signless and timeless event. It could happen at any moment. Will you be ready? That is the question. Will you be ready? Come on, let's go on with our study. We know, we said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, that when Jesus comes again, he's going to bring the rest of the bride with him. He's going to bring those who have already died in Christ with him. The millions and billions of saints of God, our sons, our daughters, our grandparents, our mothers and our fathers, those who have died in the Lord, they're going to be in this great reunion, in that great getting up morning. When the trump sound, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, beloved. That's right. Their soul and spirit is going to be reunited with their glorified, resurrected body. And then we, which are alive and remain, are going to be caught up. That's right, beloved. Caught up together with them in the clouds. And in the clouds, something supernatural is going to take place. There's going to be a transformation of these old physical bodies. This mortal is going to put on immortality. And we are going to be changed to be just like Jesus. The psalmist says, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. 1 John chapter 3 says, beloved, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we see Jesus, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Beloved, I am excited about what God is doing and his plan for the body of Christ. Get in the presence of God. Find out the will of God for your life right now. Support the local ministry that you're in. Become more vigilant in soul winning. Beloved, your churches ought to be packed out today. They ought to be packed out on Sunday. Because everyone that's sitting in the pew has an assignment to win a soul unto Christ. And they're responsible to bring somebody into the house of God with them. Beloved, are you a witness for Jesus? Are you telling somebody about the goodness of the Lord? Or are you waiting on the preacher to do all the work? Have you set the responsibility of your loved ones in the hands of someone else? Or are you taking responsibility for what God has given into your hands to do? Beloved, it's up to you. God has said, now is the acceptable time. This is the hour of salvation. Beloved, do not hesitate. We see the clouds gathering. We know that the return of the Lord is near and at hand. What are you doing to prepare for the return?
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM for a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila Suarez, the fresh manna. Thy Word is a Lamp, the fresh Word of God, children of God.
Thy Word is a Lamp, yeah, you.